Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life we have in Him. Jesus paid for all of our sins, and it's our joy to know Him personally as our Savior. In today's Easter message, The Transforming Power of the Resurrection, Dad speaks to the wonderful Savior and the difference He makes in our life.
I'm Pastor Salem, and am I ever excited because today is Easter Sunday. That's the high point of the church year, a glorious day when Jesus came from the grave. So we're going to be preaching about that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before I do that, I want to read some of the letters, just a few letters, because the people, we hear people and they say, oh, we like to hear what other people are asking. And one lady says, I've been wanting to ask that question for a long time, but never got around to it. And so we'll just share some of those letters. And the first one comes from Uganda, East Africa. And this is a brother pastor, and he writes, I live in Uganda, eastern part of Africa. I am an artist using art and music as a tool and a platform to preach the gospel of Christ and empower you and children in schools and slum communities. I request if we can keep on sharing about ministry because I love all what you're doing. I'll be happy to hear from you. Thank you. So here he gets this, he gets us on the radio. I don't know if he gets us radio or television or what, but way off in East Africa. So we need to pray for this brother and pray for his ministry. And of course, we write to him and contact him. Here's Lexana, Kansas. And here's a good one we need to listen to. I see and hear, oh my God, or OMG on TV and the web and conversations. It hurts to hear my Lord's name taken in vain and no thought being used of the Lord's name in honor. Would you wake up the world that it is not okay to take the Lord's name in vain? And I would sure do it if I could and warn you that God tells us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then he also says this along in the same verse, Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. He says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In other words, you're going to pay for it. And we hear it on television. It's terrible. Years ago, you would never hear anything like that at first on television. But now you can hear anything vulgar and all of the rest of it. God have mercy on us. And so just all, you better bite your tongue because you're going to pay for every time you take the name of the Lord in vain. Here's a letter from York, Nebraska. This is a prison. This is a lady, a young lady in prison. And she said, I'm really disliked here. It makes me feel like I'm a bad person or something. I know I'm a child of God and that God loves me. Being here in prison where I am very hated or disliked, and everyone thinks I'm going to tell on them, and they talk out loud about my crime and call me names. It's hard to have a good, great self-esteem and not to let it go down. I do not care what they do. They will have to deal with their own sins as I will mine. None are perfect in the sight of God. Then look at here how she closes. Can you help me, Pastor? I need God's help. And my heart goes out to these people, because if they live for the Lord, wherever you live for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. But here's this poor lady's getting a lot of it. So we write to her. I wrote and told her, well, you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? He was in prison, and he was falsely accused, and he was put into prison, and he was abused in prison. And St. Paul was in prison, and he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And then I write, and we hear from a good number of people in prisons. Every quarter of the United States, we've heard from, in one prison, federal prison, we've heard from 15 people. We always send them literature and encourage them. And just let me say this, too, as far as our budget is concerned, well, these dear people have no money. And we send literature, and we help them every way we can. And so we need to have your help. And when you help us, we're not only winning people to Christ, and we're winning many of these people in prison, but we're encouraging them and helping them. And God says to Isaiah, I want you to encourage my people, comfort ye my people. And that's what we're doing. And so when you, I'll give the address at the close of the service. Just get your pencil and paper, but just be praying. Say, dear God, should I help these people? You see, Christian Worship Hour is not underwritten by any organization or corporation or denomination. We are entirely dependent upon God's people. We've been that way now. We're on our 40th year. And God has always provided the way. And so we're looking to you. A lot of those people are gone into heaven. We need some recruits here. And so you just think about that. We'll talk about that at the close of the service. But this is Easter, and that's what we want to talk about today, the transforming power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the high point in the Christian year because it's the time, as you know, where Jesus came and paid for our sins. And of course, before you can have Easter, you have to have Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday because it wasn't good for Jesus, but it's surely good for us because it saved us from hell. And then you have to have that way, the Lord Jesus, and how that he had to go to the cross because where we have a problem. And that problem is we're all sinners. Every one of us has sinned. God says there's none righteous, no, not one. And when we come to the age of accountability and we can make choose between right and wrong, then we have to make that choice. And we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then you come to the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And their saying is, God's Son, Jesus, has to die for our sins, to pay for our sins. And he has to shed his blood for our sins. And that's what he did. And then that's not the end of the story. Because you come to Easter. On Good Friday, there's death and sorrow. But there's another day coming. And Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. There can be no question about it. And I don't care what you believe or don't believe. And I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile or whatever you might be. You'll have to confess and admit that first Easter Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. By the grace of God and the power of God, his Son is raised from the dead. Then he made some appearances, at least 10 different appearances. Let me give them to you. He was seen by certain women as they returned from the sepulcher. He was seen by Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher. He was seen by the Apostle Peter. He was seen by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by the 10 apostles, Thomas being absent. He was seen by the 10 apostles, Thomas being present. He was seen by several of his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. He was seen by the apostles plus over 500 brethren in one time. He was seen by James. He was seen by the apostles at Jerusalem just before his ascension on the Mount of Olives. And so let me repeat, this is a historical fact. The resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't a story. It is an historical fact. And when we come to our Lord, we're coming to someone. We're not coming to a grave with some moldering parts in it and left a body in there from many of that's every founders in the world. They're all in the grave. Jesus Christ, the founder of the Christian faith, is alive. And he was dead once, but he's alive now, and he'll be forever and ever. He'll be alive. And so in Romans 1, verse 4, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And if you are not a believer, then you're on your way to destruction and you're on your way to a crisis eternity and you're going to spend eternity with the devil. And won't that be a horrible, horrible thing? Think what he does now, what he'll do then. And so Jesus tells us there has to be a point where you've accepted Jesus into your heart. He says in John 3:18, Jesus said this, he that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As clear as a bell, Jesus says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have to ask him into your heart. He'll never come in till you ask him in. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. He says, that's the door of your heart. And he says, if any man opens that door, I will come in. You have to open the door. And if you leave it closed and you don't accept Jesus and you say, oh, I'm not for him or against him. I'm neutral. I like being neutral. Jesus said, there's no such thing as neutral. He says, he that is not with me is against me. You're for me or against me? Black and white, yes and no, nothing more, nothing less. So you have to make that decision. And you can make it right now as I'm giving it to you. In your own words, just tell him. And maybe if you want to, you can tell him some of your sins, if you got some bad sins that you're thinking about. And so Jesus puts it all to him. You have to have your faith in him. Remember when he talked to Martha? He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's spiritually. He and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's spiritual. You'll never die. You'll die physically, but not spiritually. And then he says, so she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. She put her faith in them. And so then Jesus gives her eternal life, age-abiding life, life eternal. And she's going to die physically, but never spiritually. That spiritual life will live forever. And when we die, we simply leave this body. The body's left here, and the spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. If we trust in Jesus, if we accepted Jesus. But if you rejected Jesus Christ, you're going to leave that body, and that spirit and soul are going to go into hell. That's what Jesus said. And it aches, makes my heart ache. Because some of you are going to put it off. And I'll tell you why you put it off, making a decision. You put it off because the devil talks you into that. Because he'll never tell you not to accept Jesus. Devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll say, wait, see. And you wait, and it's too late. And after death is a judgment. Pray to Jesus right this minute. During this service, we get letters a lot of times. And where they say, we prayed to accept Jesus while you were preaching. Just pray, Jesus, come into my heart. And I'll serve you. Give your life to Jesus and turn from your evil ways best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you just walk with Jesus the best you can. When you sin, you just go to God and pray and say, dear Lord, ask you for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, well, I did that, and then I sinned against. How many times will he forgive me? Oh, about 5 million times. You know what he says? He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white like snow. And he says, it doesn't matter how many your sins are. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so you come to Jesus. Now, when you come to Jesus, your life will be changed. With some people, it'll be a big change. Some, it won't be all that much change, but they'll have that change take place. Take, for instance, Paul the Apostle. He was raised Saul of Tarsus. He was an enemy of the church, and he caused all kinds of trouble and the things of God. And he had put some of them to death, and he saw Stephen stoned. And yet when Paul came to the Lord Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus, and he opened his heart to him on the road to Damascus, and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became his child, and Saul became Paul, and he preached the gospel until his head was taken from him. There was a man named John Bunyan. He had such a vile mouth, and he was so terrible. When he came into the town, the mothers would take the children in. They didn't want to even hear his voice. He was so immoral. He was a drunkard. He was evil. And he came to Christ, and he became a preacher of the gospel. And he wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, next bestseller to the Bible. That's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of Christ that takes us and changes us. And as I say, that life, maybe it'll be a dramatic change, and maybe it won't. But we will change. Our attitudes will change. Our goals in life will change. Our priorities in life will change. Our outlook on life will change. What we watch on television will change. What we read in the books, the kind of a books we write, read will change. The kind of a friends and the people you run with will change. There'll be that change. Now let me mention four other things that's going to change. When you accept Jesus Christ, we call it the transformed life. We're made then in the image of God. Now we become to have the Spirit of God within us. And in the transformed life is a fulfilling life. You're going to find peace and you're going to find joy for the first time in your life. There are people that are running hither, thither, and yon, and they're down at the bars, and they're out there selling their soul for money. They're cheating their brothers. They're doing everything they can. They're never happy. They want more. They're never satisfied, and they're running themselves half to death, and that's because Adam sinned. He sinned, and that sin passed on all of us, and don't blame Adam. We've sinned ourselves. And so God says in 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so in Adam we're dead when we have Jesus. And I don't want to be in Adam anymore. I want to be in Jesus. And I ask Jesus to come into my life. And then I'm now his child. And so on this wonderful Savior, we'll have a whole different outlook on life. And life will be worth living and we'll find fulfillment. And Paul said it like this. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul is saying, when I have a lot, I'm content. And when I have nothing, I'm content. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get ahead in life and do it in all ways honest. And to get ahead in life so you can give more to the Lord and so you can help more people, not stack it to yourself. Some of you got so much money you could live 1,000 years and never spend it all. And you need to be sharing and helping others as the Spirit of God lays it on your heart. And so this wonderful transformation will take place and we'll find fulfillment in life. And like Paul says, I don't care if I have a lot, I don't care if I have a little, I'm content in Jesus. And so you can find joy and you can find peace. And when you accept Jesus, you may have maybe have an experience. Maybe there'll be an emotional feeling. Maybe there won't be anything. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't have any feelings, except the next day I felt like I was so free from my sins. So what? Everybody's different. But you just accept Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins. I'll turn from those sins. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means an about face, a turning from the old and a turning to the new, a turning from Satan and a turning to God, a turning from darkness and turning to light. And that's what it is. It's a change of your mind as you open your heart to Jesus, and your whole creation changes because the Holy Spirit of God comes within you and he helps you to know the way and do the right thing. There's a transformed, fulfilled. And then this transformed into a life that is eternal. New life is the life of God. It's the very nature of God. It is God Almighty himself. And when we are born again, Jesus says it's a new birth. You're born again when you accept Jesus. And all it simply means is when you pray to accept Jesus, when you ask him into your heart, you're being born again. You're being regenerated. You're being made a child of God. You're put into the body of Christ. You're receiving the Holy Spirit. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. All that happens the moment you accept Jesus. And you just make that prayer. And so we're told, Paul tells us 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, if any man accept Jesus, he becomes a new creation, a new person, and your life will change, and it'll change for the best. And so God says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Jesus Christ comes by the Holy Spirit into your body and into your soul. And you're so you're a part of God, and God's a part of you. It's like a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the sponge in the water, or is the water in the sponge? You can't separate the two. And he takes our whole body and our whole being and dwells within us. Oh, you can have that. And I believe that there are people right now that you're praying and you're asking Jesus to come into your life. And it is eternal. It will be eternal life. It'll never end. And then we have eternal results. That is, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we will have a heart for other people. We'll have a different outlook on life, and we want to help people and encourage people, and we'll love people, and we'll love their soul and want them to come to Jesus Christ, and we'll comfort people, and we'll cheer people, and we'll be a blessing and brighten their life. But more important than that, we are accomplishing something eternal and abiding, and that is, we are doing a work that's going to last forever. There are people that do some things and they may be worth them multitudes of money and whatever, I don't know. But the minute they die, they leave it all and it's all gone. But when we do it in the service of Christ, we'll be going to see it over there. It's going to last forever. God tells us in Daniel 12, verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and other ever." The transformed life is having eternal results. And that's what you can have. But you maybe you're just giving your whole life. When you die, everything will die with you. I remember reading a story of an old pastor, and one of his members invited him to come to his home to eat. And after dinner, they ate for dinner. The member of his church says, "I'd like to show you something, Pastor." And they got in the car and they drove up on the top of a hill. And the man pointed out and he says, "Look at all far, all the way south you can look. And look all the way far west you can look. And look how north you look. Look how far, how east you can look. I own all that land." And then he said to the pastor, "What do you think of that?" And the pastor says, "Ask me 100 years from now." And that's what I'm talking about, friends. I see them work their head off and cheat and everything else. And many of them are on the level. And they leave it all. Not a pit. One man died. And they says, I wonder how much he left. And the other guy says, "I don't know. I think he left it all." But Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You do that. Give it to Jesus. And then the last thing I put down, the transformed life is victorious. Death is no longer the end. No, we don't worry about death. All of a sudden, death changes. And death becomes an event in life that we live along and then we come to death. And it's like a glorious transfer. And I had one man tell me, he says, "Don't tell people I died. You tell them I transferred to heaven." Another fellow, he told me, he says, "Well, I'm all packed and ready for heaven. I'm just waiting for the transportation." My good old friend John Dillon, God bless his soul. And God came and took him one day, and I'm going to see him again. He always said that. "I'm all ready to go. I'm just waiting for transportation." Well, that's what it is. It's transportation to the throne of God, to the wonderful city of God, where Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the glorious things that God has prepared for those who love him." You can't imagine what heaven will be like, and why will you pass it by, and why will you throw it away when you can come to Jesus, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to just say this, my friends, when you come to Jesus Christ, he's telling us that we have to put our faith in him. And when we receive him, all of those things happen. And you could do that. You got to do that. I beg of you to do that. And then you're going to think about death. And you're going to say, "Oh, I get to go home. I get to see heaven." John wrote about that. He says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Oh, my friends, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus says in John 5:24, "He that heareth my word," now if you've heard it, the best I can preach it, but it's a pure old word of God. And even if I stumble and make a lot of mistakes, it's still the power of God. If any man hear my word and believeth on him that sent me, and says, Lord, I believe. And I believeth on him. He says, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Right that minute. Jesus said that. John 5:24. And then he's not done. He says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell. You're passed from death unto life, eternal life. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Aberdeen, 57402. All of you on shortwave, be sure to get that down. Love to hear from you folks too. And the rest of you have it on the screen. And then you write to us and we'll send you the new song, The Little Bible Study. And we'll also send you a little story about all we're doing is this ministry. But you need to write to us and help us because we have to have your help. So you send your gifts to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the believers in Iran. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes that have come to you and put their faith in you all over the world. And dear Jesus, we're praying for them. We're praying for the persecuted church in Iran. Many of them have died for you, Lord. And so we just pray that we will be more, that we'll be more staunch in our faith, and that we'll give more and pray more and serve more and maybe give our life. We don't know. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for the shut-ins. Pray, Lord, for the young people as they make their decisions and the children that they'll come to you. We pray in all things that you'll be pleased and you'll be honored, and someday we'll all gather around the throne of God because we put our faith in Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. In his name, amen. So now be sure to help us out. We're in our 40th year, and we don't have any help except God's people. And we are audited by the International Council for Financial Accountability. So we audit and we use every penny we get, and every penny we get and every penny we send is for the proclamation of the gospel. And we do that because God loves you, and he wants you to know about that love. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And that's why we do this Sunday after Sunday into our 40th year. We love you and want you to come to Jesus. So we'll be looking for you next week. You pray for us and we'll pray for you. And someday we'll be together and we'll pray together. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.